This weekend, I want to spend some time talking a little bit to each one of us about our marriage or about our life, about the ability to stay close to God's purpose and stay close to God's will for our life, and what we can do to stop that natural drift that can happen in the world that we live in, the drift towards isolation and the drift towards selfishness in our home or in our marriage. So how do we stay close, possibly in our marriage or with those that God has given us in our life? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for every single person that's hearing the word. We thank you that your word is life and that your word can change us. So Lord, I just pray for every person today, God, that your word would do a work in their heart. We thank you that truth can prevail and that truth can change. And ultimately, truth can transform. Lord, we are just so excited that we totally believe that your word is enough. So we rest in the power and the authority of the Word of God. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, we're going to learn about staying close. Come on, look at that other person who won't look at you and they're just staring forward. And you're going to need to look at the side of their head and say, I like your profile. My desire for this installment of Closer is right now to be very plain in our conversation, to do everything I can to be simple, clear, and accurate. So I want to get right to it. Now, there's going to be a lot of things we talk about that you could talk about for a year or two. When it comes to marriage and doing life together and what it means to be single or single again, what it means to be a young person, what it means to be a parent of children that one day may grow up and get married, to be a grandparent that's helping to guide grandkids, because it really can affect all of us. The neat thing about the Word is that when you talk about the Word and your focus is on the Word of God, no matter what the topic can be, it can still speak to all of our hearts. So none of us are exempt from what the Spirit of God wants to say to our lives. And so as we talk for a few minutes, there may be other things that you think about. Or you may say, you know what, I want to move forward in that area of my life. Or I feel like I've got a good relationship, but I want a great relationship. Or I plan on being married to this precious woman or this precious man. I want to be married for a long, long time till death do us part. And you say, well, I want to make an investment into it. Well, one of the great things is we offer Life for Marriage here as a church. And it's a 12-week experience where you can get involved and you can get connected. You can get connected with other marriages or get connected with other people and hear the Word. And the Austins do a great job of unpacking that. And it begins February the 15th at 10 o'clock during this service. So you can go to class and then come here at 12 or 8 o'clock. So we want you to be a part of that, this Marriage for Life or other life groups. So there's always more to talk about. And I just wanted to tell you that because I can only cover a little bit of God's Word as it relates to staying close. Let me start off by saying this, that isolation is one of the chief ways that the devil is destroying lives and marriages today. Isolation is one of the number one things that the enemy will use to destroy the closeness of a marriage. The devil has been doing that for a long time. He's pretty good at it. Even from the beginning, he took Eve and wanted to isolate Eve and wanted to fill her mind with lies and wanted to fill her mind with doubt and wanted to fill her mind that God is not fair and God doesn't care about you and God is not there for you. You need to make your own way. You need to figure it out yourself. There's no help from above. And so the enemy isolated Eve and begin to fill her mind with lies. A lot of times in isolation, we can begin to believe a lie. Our mind can mess with us. In isolation, away from friends or people who really know us, we can start believing things that are not true. We can get paranoid. We can get suspicious. We can think things that are not really there. We can worry and begin to drown in worry. Eve, the devil tried to isolate Eve. Not only Eve, but he also did it to to King David, such a warrior, such a fighter, such a strong man for God. But what happened? The enemy isolated him from his friends that were fighting the battle from out there in that time of war. And there's David in the palace. He's away from his accountability. He's away from people who know him. And what happens? He ends up in an affair which leads to adultery, which leads to murder. See, if David wouldn't have been isolated, he'd have had some of his friends around him saying, "What in the world are you doing? Why are you acting that way?" The enemy isolated him. Even in the New Testament, the enemy tried to isolate Peter after a failure. A lot of times we get guilt or condemnation in our life, and we have a failure in our life, and we want to withdraw from people that are life-giving. I've even seen at times that we can have a failure in our life, and we want to get out of church, or we want to get out of a small group because we're embarrassed, and we feel rejection, and we feel guilt. And what happened? The enemy tried to take Peter and isolate Peter, but Jesus came looking for him. And said, "Peter, don't go out there all by yourself. I love you. Get back in the family. Get back in the fold. That's where you belong." The enemy has always tried to do that. Even says this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. See, not only do we believe that God has a vision for our family, I believe with all my heart that God has a vision for my marriage. God has a destiny for my marriage. There's purpose on our marriage. But guess what? The enemy has a vision for your marriage. The devil has a vision for your life. And this is one of them. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 says this. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said this to them. "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand." These are written in red. That's the words of Jesus. Jesus says, you can't have a home. It won't last if there's division. It doesn't work in the workplace. It won't work in anywhere. It doesn't work in church. The enemy's vision is to bring something that would separate us, something that would isolate us and divide our life. Because a kingdom divided against itself, it won't make it. Even says this in Romans chapter 16, just a small verse of verse 17. "I urge you, brothers, watch out for those who cause division among you." It says you got to be careful about things and people and situations that can come into your life and can bring division in your life. To be honest, I see many marriages that are dying from the disease of drift. And they're drifting into isolation. That word isolation means to set aside. And too often we're setting aside that which is valuable. Too often we may feel that the person we married is setting us aside. Or we're setting aside our marriage for material things. Or we're setting aside our marriage for what we want. We set things aside. See, we don't talk about it a lot. But can I tell you this? There's something worse than a lonely single. You know, sometimes I run into singles and they just, "I'm lonely. I'm a lonely single." And they just so low, just lonely. You don't know the loneliness. Lonely, 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 all by myself. Lonely dog. You just don't know what it feels like to sit by the phone. "Please, somebody call me. Anybody. I'll fake it if I have to." Lonely, lonely. I tell you what's worse than a lonely single. A lonely wife or a lonely husband. That's worse than a lonely single. Is to be in a marriage and be lonely. And I see it happening at times. It's where we live together, but we don't share life together. We share a bed, but we're not intimate. We share food. We share a checkbook. We share the schedule of the kids, but we're not in relationship. We may even have sex, but we don't have love. We even talk, but we do not communicate. We are together, but we are separated. We're together, but we're separated. Our society feeds this. We are fast becoming a nation of strangers. I call it crowded loneliness. We're crowded with people at work, and we're crowded as we go down airline highway, and we're crowded as we go shopping. We're crowded at our school, and we're crowded at our campuses, and we're crowded when we come to church, but we're still lonely. There's a crowded loneliness all around us. And then we actually become proud that we are independently successful. Reminds me of a scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. I think this is an interesting scripture as it relates to this thought. It says this: "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." That's what happens a lot in life. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I want to do my deal. It's just mine. And what happens is there's this swift current that's trying to sweep away the oneness of our commitments, especially today. I mean, with all the financial pressure and the decision and the hard working and sometimes the overtime and the extra energy it takes now to provide a living and to take care of the needs and to do the things we need to do and the unknown that's out there and the doubt. And a lot of times we're working in an environment or we're living in an environment that's opposite from the truth of God's word, and it's a crazy schedule. It's almost as if there's this current that's just naturally trying to cause us to drift apart and to bring isolation. And isolation always leads to selfishness. Always leads to selfishness. Always does. It's a great scripture. I just want to offer some hope, offer some, you know, truth, proven principles out of God's word that could help us to stay close during the times that we live in. Help us that no matter what happens around us, we are going to be tight. I'm going to keep my marriage tight. I'm going to stay close in trouble times. No matter how crazy it gets around me, no matter how many troubles comes against us, we are making a decision as a husband and wife to be tight. The other day, I was fixing something that I had broken my house about 800 times. I have a habit of breaking things. I'm so petite, I don't know why that happens. I had the super glue out. I own stock in super glue. And I'm super gluing this thing and I'm not paying attention. That shocks many people. Next thing I knew, I had glued my hands together. Now, so I don't feel like a big jughead. Is there anybody else in the room that's ever glued your hands or fingers together? God, we're a smart bunch. Tight is just... I believe God wants to help you and I, that no matter what we go through, that our marriages, our commitment can stay tight. Because the enemy is trying to cause us to drift apart every single day. It doesn't matter if you married 5 years or 25 years. God wants us to stay tight during troubled times. And we can with God's help. I love the scripture, Psalms 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. That's a great scripture. I first heard that scripture. I didn't really know that scripture. And I came to Bible college, and it was my senior year in Bible college, and somebody had told me about this man in Bible college that taught a whole course on Psalms 127, verse 1. And the course was called Marriage and Family. Since I was a senior in Bible college, I was single, and I wasn't a lonely single. I was a good-looking single. And I decided that I need to take that class. I mean, I couldn't come out of Bible college. And how would I ever be able to work at a church? And how would I ever preach? And in that context, you had to get married. It was not Bible college. It was bridal college. And so I was trying to work through all that. So I made this decision. I'm going to take marriage and family. I want to see a course that the whole course is built around Psalms 127, verse 1. I said, you better watch out. The first day of that class, that professor is wild. He's unlike any of the other nice brainiac professors, real nice. He is wild. He throws books. He punches you in the behind. He knocks you upside the head. He yells. He sweats. He does all kinds. You got to watch it. So I sat in that class for the first day, marriage and family. And lo and behold, this professor walked in. He started throwing books saying, we don't need these textbooks. We need the Word of God. We need Psalms 127. He punched a few people. He knocked a few people out of the desk. I got so fired up out of that class that I decided to marry his daughter. That professor was Wayne Austin. And he's now my daddy. Except the Lord builds the house. Its builders labor in vain. Vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. I really believe, and this is a simple thought this morning, I believe the only way to unity and to closeness and to a long, fulfilling, successful marriage is a mutual, total dependence on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life first and then your marriage. I believe marriage and relationships, I believe they can all fit under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. See, I believe the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a one-stop all-in-all thing. You say, well, I don't need that. I need forgiveness. You find forgiveness under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What I don't need is I need my wife to act right. You will find something, and it won't be your wife acting right. It'll be you acting right. Underneath. I need healing. I need restoration. I need patience. I need understanding. The Lordship of Jesus. Do you know I'm single? Never been married. Maybe you're here and you've been married, or there's a blended family, or you're in a situation right now where you're out of a relationship, or there's a broken relationship. You say, how is that going to help me? I believe you could find truth and life and direction all underneath the roof of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. At 15, at 55, at 36 and a half, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you can find direction and peace and fulfillment. See, He can give us the miracle of oneness. He helps us to grow closer in hard times. Instead of our troubles pulling us apart, He can help us. He can give us proven principles that can help us to come close when troubles are trying to pull us apart. Because troubles will come and troubles will try to pull you apart. It's just the world that we live in. I love the scripture in Proverbs chapter 24. Why don't you turn there? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 through 4. Gives us some truth and just a few proven principles can help us a lot. Proverbs 24, verse 3 through 4 says this. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding, wisdom builds the house. Understanding is establishing the house. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. What an amazing scripture for our homes. This morning, I got up early and I went into our son's room. And he's laid up in the bed and he's laying there just with his, just got braces. His braces kind of smile, kind of. And I leaned over him, kissed him on the forehead, his little braces. I thought, what a gift from God. Amen. And he's even a better gift when he's sleeping. And all the parents say, amen. I just said, what a gift from God. So sweet, so kind, so meek and mild. The Bible says that wisdom and understanding and knowledge, you can build your life under. You say, well, what does it talk about? Well, it talks about the wisdom of God. It's God's wisdom. Wisdom, it means that you're wise to recognize Him as architect and designer of your life. We want our homes to be built by God and not built by self. Self will create a problem every single time. When Delina and I first got married, we were married about 6 months and we were living over by Gardere. And I remember one day we had a little discussion and Delina was so wrong about the discussion and she was clueless about what was going on. And we just could not figure it out at all. And so we just had a little moment. And I remember I just went outside and walked. And I just said, Lord, what is wrong with that woman? I remember walking outside of our apartment, just walking up and down that little sidewalk right there, up and down, thinking, Lord, what is wrong with her? She's just unreasonable. She thinks she knows this and she knows that. She don't know nothing. And I just talked. You know, it's interesting that as I walked and talked to the Lord and settled down, that it went, I'm going to tell you this, it went from what is her problem to the Lord saying, you are the problem. You are the problem. See, we need wisdom to serve and love and die and commit and stay close in our homes. Because how many of us sometimes we don't use wisdom? You ever heard somebody say something that they repeated to you what they said to somebody and you want to say, now that wasn't wise. You didn't use wisdom. I'll say that to sometimes people. You didn't use wisdom in that moment. God wants us to use wisdom in how we build and how we speak and how we serve and how we handle those people that we love. And then the other thing that the Bible says is understanding. We establish things by understanding. See, understanding is insight and perspective. Understanding is where you look in the mirror of God's word and it shows you something. You gaze into this mirror and into the truth of Jesus Christ and into the life of Jesus. And as you look into that mirror, it will show you something about your life. It will show you something about what you're saying. Show you something about what you're thinking. It's insight and it's perspective. And you know what happens? When you see it, it will produce a compassion and a passion for your partner. That's what understanding does. Understanding helps you to see beyond the surface. Have you ever had, or have you ever passed judgment on someone and then all of a sudden later on you find out something that they've been through or something that they were walking through and you had no idea that they just lost a child or they were just diagnosed with cancer or they just lost their job or they just went through that and you were short with them or you passed judgment and you were negative or you complained about them only to discover a pain that they were going through. And you think, I shouldn't have been that way. I didn't know you felt that way. I had no idea you were thinking that. I had no earthly idea that you were walking through that. Understanding gives you insight that helps you to have compassion and passion. And then the last word that Proverbs tells us that is a proven principle is knowledge. You acknowledge this? Knowledge is spirit-led truth. See, I believe under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can lead you to be closer in troubles and not be further apart in troubles. Spirit-led knowledge. Do you know what? In marriage, you need to be spirit-led. We need to be led by the Spirit, not led by the flesh. See, in our marriage, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, not led by anger or led by offense or led by insecurity or led by anger or led by hate or things of our past. We've got to be led by the Spirit. Spirit-led knowledge where God helps us. And you need it in marriage. Now, sometimes when you're dating or when you're engaged, you don't have no Spirit-led knowledge at all. None. Lord have mercy. See, when you're dating or you're engaged, it's kind of that those blind moments. It's almost as if during engagement or during dating, there's these lenses that all of a sudden come down on your eyes and on your understanding. And it causes you to ignore all facts and all reality because you crave the experience of the ride of love. I got to get on the love train. Choo, choo. But, I mean, mama says and friends say, don't you know he's acting like that? No, I'm on the love ride. Choo, choo. I mean, totally blind. Don't even see any of it. None of it. Because you crave to love or be loved. More than truth. I want to encourage every person here who's single. Be led by truth. Spirit-led truth. Don't get on that love train. It'll mess you up. It won't be choo-choo. It'll be ideal, and then it will be an ordeal. Can I have a good amen? And like Brother Wayne says, then you're looking for a new deal. Oh, come on, somebody. Ah, feel like a preach. See, God wants us to be close, even in troubled times. This reminds me of the story of the two porcupines. Had these two porcupines from Arkansas. They took them up to Alberta, and they dropped them off on the snow. And there was nothing in sight but snow and these two porcupines. As they stood there for a little while, they start shivering. It's freezing. January. Freezing. They were freezing to death. And as they were shivering, they started shivering towards one another. And they realized that the closer they got together in this harsh terrain, in this brutal elements, as they got closer together, they started feeling warmth from one another, body heat. And they realized that the closer they got together, the more ability they had to survive the elements. And so they got tight. And as they got tight, all of a sudden they began to thaw out a little bit. And they started feeling this poking and this pain. And they're trying to get close and they hug. And it was hurting. Their quills were sticking them. Come get close. Oh! They got close and they were making it. But the boy sure was hurting. And so they decided they couldn't take the pain. So they separated. And guess what? They froze to death and died. That's the end of the story. They're dead porcupines. Porcupine soup in Alberta. Can I tell you this? Sometimes getting close hurts. Sometimes it's painful to get intimate and get close and tell somebody really what's happening. And open up your heart and open up your life. Take the good, the bad, and the ugly with openness. But you're better off. Why is it one couple can go through trials like another couple who goes through trials? And they both have trouble, trouble, trouble. And as a pastor, one of the great privileges, you get a front row seat on people going through trouble. In all these years, I've watched people go through trouble. And I've watched many choose to separate. And their marriage die. And then I've seen others decide that these troubles will not define us. We're going to get closer. And it may be painful. And it may hurt. And it may be hard. We're not going to let these troubles pull us apart. We're going to stick together. We're going to stick together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because there's healing and forgiveness and peace and patience and understanding under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I pray that every marriage in this room, no matter what you're going through, would submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and decide, no matter what we're going to go through, we're going to stick together.